Stand, please, in honor of God's word. I'll be reading Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, the scripture text for the message today, A Beautiful Journey. And as they spake, Peter and John speaking, unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them, and they put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. They had a meeting of the minds. And when they had set them in the midst, they set Peter and John in their midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Speaking of the miracle of healing that they had performed. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and unto all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye have crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone, Jesus is, which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You may be seated. Thank you, everyone. Kind Heavenly Father, I need your help. You know that well. Part of the demonstration that it's all about you, it's not about me, is the reality that although I've written this first message and the final one, the four in between, I just have scribbled notes and it's going to be all about you. But even as I share this scripted message, Lord, it's never about me. Heavenly Father, I can accomplish nothing with everlasting meaning without your help. Pour out on to me, Lord, your anointing spirit this morning, Heavenly Father, that I can bring to light the truths that you need for this people to hear. And Heavenly Father, bless us with your revelating spirit to receive, Heavenly Father, that these words might lodge in our hearts, that we might go forth from this place and demonstrate them in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Throughout my life in Christ, I have always been very much reserved in my worship. I've always worshiped my Lord with stillness and quietness. No matter how deeply the Lord was stirring my heart in a song or a spoken message, no matter how wrenched my heart might be, overcome by the divine goodness of my Lord and my God, still I would remain very reserved in my worship, mostly still and mostly quiet, as my heart would throb over the greatness of our Almighty God, often with tears streaming down my face. I simply remained quiet and reserved. I have heard many messages preached on worship by various ministers of the gospel that have expressed their belief that reserved worship is essentially broken worship, because if we can get excited, if we can show excitement and show emotional expression over a sporting event or over any other activity, you should most certainly do the same. I've heard it preached. You should have the same or even greater emotional expression as your heart is stirred over the goodness of an Almighty God. I agree to this extent that our God is worthy. He is greatly and far more worthy of our greatest expression of emotion than any of us as human creatures can even generate. However, I am persuaded to believe also that God sees the heart of every one of us. And if we're praising Him on the inside with our true heartfelt and greatest expression of love and gratitude and honor and glory and magnification over His goodness, that indeed is not broken worship. And I do not believe that my reserved worship or anyone else's reserved worship is broken worship or in any way less than our great God deserves. He sees the heart. All of that being said, however, I recently have been exposed to a worship environment as Deb and I went with Mike and Melva to attend a Hillsong Young and Free concert. And that worship environment, I got to admit, as much as I hate to, left me feeling very old. As we worshiped the Lord uninhibited, 3 hours of our hands in the air and 3 hours of jumping down, up and down, often with tears streaming down my face over my Lord's goodness and streaming down the faces of so many teenagers in that crowd over our Lord's goodness. For 3 hours with no intermission, we honored and we glorified and we magnified and we lifted up my Lord and my God. And I can't help it. That left a mark on me that will never go away. And so it is, I'm asking you now. You got a small taste of it last week. The Lord was so kind. I'm asking you now not to be alarmed. My daughter's coming to sing along with Scotty what will be our recurring anthem for our revival services. And don't be alarmed. I'm going to have a live mic not to sing. I'll mute the singing part. But I'm going to have a live mic to do some commentating as we worship the Lord in this song. But don't be alarmed to see me come out of my shell, so to speak. There's a few people here who've been waiting a long time for me to break out of my shell. Most of you probably don't know that I was ever in a shell. Perhaps by the time our revival services are through, most of you will be saying, Pete really was in a shell. And some of you might even be saying, I wish he'd get back in it. Nevertheless, pay mind to this song entitled No Other Name. It will be our anthem for these services. I like the way the children at Bible school have an anthem for the series of Bible school services, and I like the excitement that we see in them that Sunday night as they stand up here and worship the Lord and sing that anthem, Aren't We to Be as Little Children? My daughter and Scotty are going to come and sing what will be our recurring anthem each night. And besides the fact that the Lord laid it on my heart, this is the anthem, the recurring anthem for this series of services. It's very important, as the words are going to be posted on the wall, it's very important that you pay mind to those words, because this song is so well written that I can spend 5 consecutive services sharing messages to you that will not express as well as the word in this song, the words in this song expresses. There is no other name more worthy to be honored and to be glorified and to be magnified and to be lifted up than the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. It's all about Jesus. The theme of our revival services is simply a series of messages about how we advertently or on purpose and inadvertently or by accident, we get in the way of what God would like to accomplish in our lives because we too often forget or we forego a critical truth that our very lives in Christ are not about us at all, but are in fact all about Jesus. We'll simply be exploring the many ways that this occurs in our lives in Christ personally, as well as in our lives as the church. Notice with me, if you will, go along in your mind with me, if you will, how our human lives, our physical lives in this world, are formed in steps throughout time. We are not born full-grown, mature adults. I think that's well understood by all of us. Our steps, our human lives, our physical lives in this world are formed in steps throughout time. If there are no unfortunate mental or emotional or physical defects in a human being, our lives are indeed, from the time we are born, formed in steps. We grow, our physical, our mental, and our emotional capacities grow and or mature in steps throughout time in our lives. And throughout this growing process, as we see others ahead of us in this journey of life in this world, when we see others who are farther along in life, others who are older than we are, as we look at them, we find it difficult to imagine, at least I always have, that we will or could ever get to where they are in life. In this process of steps and stages that is our life in this world, the example that I look to most often to explain this reality in my own life is my dad. As I was growing and aging and maturing, I'll get there. As I was growing and aging and maturing, going through and experiencing the various steps and stages through life in this world, I would always look at my dad. I would always look at where he was in life, the things that he had accomplished in life, the things that he had acquired in life. I would look at the way that he spoke with such authority, and I would look at the way that he dealt with others in such a mentoring fashion. Just overall, really, when as a youngster in life, I would always look at my dad, at where he was and how he was in life, and I would wonder in myself. I would say to myself, I don't understand or see how I would ever get to where he was, how I could ever achieve in life even a fraction of what he had achieved and accomplished in life. And now here it is, so quickly it's come. My recent birthday, October 7th, I turned 2 weeks older than my dad was when the Lord called him out of this world. And as it was my dad's desire, and so it should be our desire with our own children, I would have to say, just for a matter of fact, not at all to be boastful, I would just have to say for a matter of fact that I have probably, at least in some ways, in some areas of my life, I have probably reached loftier heights than my father ever has. And I find myself saying, wow, I never thought that I would be where I am in life. life, doing the things that I'm doing in life, having accomplished the things that I've accomplished in life. In fact, I once could not even have imagined being where I now am in life, yet here I am. And as Christians, this phenomena, this reality of growth in steps and stages should as well be exemplified in our lives. One of the most remarkable discoveries I have ever experienced in my life is the discovery that to all things in the physical, to all things in our physical being, there is indeed a spiritual parallel. And so it is then, as we are youngsters in Christ, we should be quite naturally immature. We quite naturally should be able to look at others older in Christ, look at others farther ahead in that journey, and find it difficult to imagine ever being where they are in Christian life. It should be difficult for us to imagine ever accomplishing, ever achieving, ever acquiring the things that those more mature in Christ have accomplished, achieved, and acquired. And this beautiful growing and maturing process in our spiritual lives should never cease. This process of growing and achieving and accomplishing and changing should never discontinue in our spiritual lives so long as we live in this world. In fact, even more so than physically, in the sense that physically we grow steadily older and quite naturally tireder as we age, while spiritually, we can indeed not and should never grow old and tired all the way to the point in time in which we close our eyes in physical death, at which time our spirits separate from our physical bodies, no longer to be contained in and restrained by this physical container, to exist forever throughout endless eternity, as our spirits finally leave our bodies to exist forever throughout eternity in true life eternal with our Lord, or eternal death and damnation. Honestly, I can say that my life in Christ has been a very, very beautiful journey, and being saved at a very young age, I guess I can say as well, it has been relatively lengthy as well. An example of looking to others more mature in Christ. Forgive me, Elroy, if I make you feel old. It just stuck in my mind last Sunday in Elroy's Sunday school lesson when he mentioned how many years he's been with the Lord, how many years he's been a Christian, perhaps not always like all of us to the extent that we ought to be, perhaps not always like all of us. I'm thinking of myself in my younger days, not acting and doing as I should, but I can't help but think it's really stuck in my mind when Elroy said last week how long he's been with the Lord, and I'm like, I thought I was with the Lord a long time. But we can always look at somebody ahead of us in that journey of Christian life and see somebody that's even ahead of us, you know. And that's what I'm trying to express here today. I can say that my life in Christ has been a beautiful journey, and being saved at a young age, I guess I can even say like Elroy, it was relatively lengthy. I've known the Lord for much of my life since I'm an 8-year-old boy. I often say in testimony, I know very little about life without Christ, and I don't want to know anything about life without Christ. My Christian life, my life in Christ, has indeed been a very beautiful journey, bumpy indeed at times, and not always what I should be at times. And I can still say that here and now today, because I have a tendency to build a framework around my Christian life, what it should be. My needs are getting fulfilled and satisfied, and I am often unwilling to break outside of of that framework and have my Christian life be perhaps what God might need it to be, that goes far beyond myself, that allows me to reach outside of myself to a world of lost and dying souls around me. The Lord has opened my eyes to the reality that I too, all of us are guilty on our own level. I too am guilty of building a framework around my Christian life that it's what it needs to be for me. It's what it needs to be to do for me what I need it to do. And we need to get to a place of maturity in our spirits where we're beyond that place, where we can say, Lord, take me and use me. I'm off my script. I might not do bad 3 messages between a written script. I might get it done. The Lord has more faith in me than I do, but I'm feeling it right now. But anyhow, about a year and a half or so ago, however, I made a decision. And this is very important, because this decision I made, I'm going to be reminding you of it each night. I made a decision about, I'm just guessing, a year and a half ago, that would change my life in Christ drastically in a profound and a beautiful way. And I would like you all to join me. I greatly encourage you to join me in this beautiful place that will absolutely be life-changing for you. It will indeed change every aspect and every area of your lives in a most beautiful way. And you will find yourself saying, I wish my life in Christ could have always been like this. I promise you, if you join me, you will never be the same. In a most beautiful way. Ever I will be fascinated by answered prayer. It is so extremely gratifying when the very desires of your heart come to fruition. Our children are raised and gone out on their own. I guess they call it, and I guess Deb and I are what they call empty nesters. I really never felt this to be a sad time, as my wife did. I always said she was trying to keep the kids forever, and I was trying to get rid of them. And so it is then, as our children are in fact gone from home and married, they've left home. I really did not consider it to be a sad time in my life, but rather just a natural and a healthy and a scripturally accurate part of life. That being said, however, when a married couple reaches this point in life, those of you who have can understand, it really is a rather stark time of reflection that lasts for quite a long time. And so it was then, about perhaps a year and a half or so ago, as I was reflecting on our lives, as I was reflecting on Deb and I's lives and the place that we had come to in life, I realized, really, that each other and our Lord and our God is really all that we have. I mean, the children and the grandchildren, they come, but they go again. But daily, through the normal routine of our lives, it really is just Deb and I and our loving God. And during one of these deep times of reflection on what Deb and I's lives had come to, about, I'm guessing, a year and a half ago, I made it my frequent prayer. And even more importantly, and remember this, I made it a true desire of my heart, which is so important in our prayers, as his word reminds us, he will give you the desires of your heart. I began praying frequently, and more importantly, I began truly desiring in my heart that God would draw Deb and I closer to one another daily, and more importantly, that he would draw us closer to him. When I began making these requests frequently in prayer and making them a true desire of my heart, I really felt as if I loved my wife as well and as hard as I could. And I also really felt close to God for sure and certain. However, because God answered my prayers and the desires of my heart, I very soon would discover that there was a level or levels of love for my wife and my God and a closeness to them both that I had not yet reached and remains still to be seen just how deep our love and closeness can yet grow. I suppose that this truth applies to many things and many areas in our lives. If we become satisfied where we are at, and or we feel that we have reached a peak or a pinnacle or a degree that can go no higher, then indeed we prevent ourselves from reaching higher achievement. Nevertheless, recently on a Saturday night, week after my birthday, October 7th, Deb wanted to take me out for my birthday, and I chose to dine at Isabella's. If any of you are familiar, it's sort of an upscale restaurant, at least for a fellow like me. There's more to me, I guess, than meets the eye, I tell people. The entire evening that Deb and I enjoyed, was so special. Our waiter was so delightful. He was well dressed, he was well spoken, and he was very well mannered, and he added to the splendor of our evening. And I told him so in those very exact words, because I'm sort of artistic with words. And a pianist played classical music and visited each table asking for requests. And I was sure to tell him I was envious of his playing talent because I'm sort of artistic with words, to some a charmer, to others a BSer. Our meal was so excellent. The lights were dim. The candles were lit. I was really feeling the atmosphere. And when we were through eating and had to decline dessert, we both sort of just sat enjoying the wonderfully romantic atmosphere when Deb happened to reach across the table to hold my hand. As I reached across the table to take her hand, I looked into her eyes, and it was at that moment that I asked myself, who could be more beautiful than this woman? And how could I possibly love her more? That's how God is. He always has more for us, overabundantly above and beyond all that we could ever think or ask. Our God always has more to give. He has higher levels. He has higher degrees. He has higher achievements to reach, really in every area of our lives, if indeed our prayers and our motives and our desires of our hearts are pure and in line with His will, which leads me to my closing point that really is the focal point of these entire revival services. It's all about Jesus. If you only remember one thing from this service or the following services, because I'll try to remind you each night, you need to remember this focal point, this closing point. next to the decision to accept Christ as Lord and Savior of your heart and your life, what I am about to tell you is the second most important decision you can make in this lifetime. It is indeed nearly as life-changing as accepting Christ. About a year and a half ago or so, for no particular reason, it was triggered by no particular event in my life that I really can contribute it to. I began reflecting on my age and how many years that I may have left in this world. And whenever I would do this previously, whenever I would have these times of reflection previously, and again on this occasion, my thoughts quickly shift to the reality that although much of my life is gone, there still is time left to get much accomplished in life. However, I admit, with each passing birthday, I feel an increasing sense of urgency. This urgency that I feel is not so much over personal accomplishments and achievements. If my life ended now, I would be content feeling, although I have more goals I'd like to reach in this life and in this world, I really would feel content if my life ended now, that I have done enough in the sure sense that accomplishments in and of this world are only temporary anyhow. The urgency I feel, however, is to accomplish entirely God's will for me in this life. I never have felt I've done enough for my Lord in my life thus far, and I believe that He has much more for me to do for Him in life, and I truly want to fill entirely His purposes for me in life over my own. So, whenever I have those reflective moments on my age and the time I may have left in this world, I really feel a great sense of urgency to get busy about my Father's business. And so it was then, about a year and a half ago, somehow these reflective thoughts translated into a simple prayer that has become my frequent prayer, not only, but a pure and a true desire of my heart. And God quickly answered my prayer and has been for the last year and a half. And what a beautiful journey it has been for me. And I am overwhelmed with desire for everyone that I know and love to join me on this journey. It sounds far too simple to be so life-changing. However, I promise you, with my Lord and my God as my witness, if you make this your frequent prayer and the true desire of your heart, and God blesses you as He did me with answer to that prayer, I have no reason to believe that He wouldn't. It will be nearly as life-changing for you as the salvation of your soul. You just don't know. You just don't know. I thought all of these years of my life in Christ, as good as it was, this really was it. This was life in Christ as human beings in this world. You have no idea. I had no idea. There is indeed an atmosphere that we can simply choose to step into that only God exists in. And those who have chosen to step into it with Him and exist in it with Him, even while our spirits are contained in these human vessels in this world. For once I was lost, but now I am found indeed. This very salvation of a once lost soul is the ultimate gratification and the greatest change to one's life anyone in this world can experience. But that is not all that God has in store for His own in this world until He calls you out of it into eternity with Him. Simply make this your constant prayer. It sounds too simple to believe. Make this your constant prayer and your true desire of your heart. Lord, help me. I began praying and desiring. Help me, Lord, to see the world and to see all of humanity. through your eyes, you won't believe what happens next, even while it's happening. How wrongly we see, how arrogantly we see, how selfishly we see, but see the world and all humanity through the eyes of Christ, and you quickly see it's not about us. It's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. It's never been about me. It's never been about you. It's never been about any of us, all the world that our great God created and all the immense mass of humanity that has ever or shall ever exist in it has always been all about Jesus, because He was before the world even was. It's all about Him. It's always been about Him and will always be all about Jesus. A simple prayer and desire of my heart was the catalyst of these revival services and the inspiration for this lengthy introduction. The remaining services may be quite short. I don't know. The Lord knows. I say that because as badly as I wanted to write every word as I did this introduction so that I'm not stumbling and stammering and tripping over my tongue, the Lord did not provide the time for me to do this. I believe purposely to demonstrate the very theme of our services. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me or any of us. Please come and see and pray for me and my stammering tongue these remaining services, and join me on what I know your life in Christ already was, a beautiful journey, which leads us to tonight's message, be the most difficult one for me. I got one page of scribbled notes. Tonight's message is entitled, Every Message is a Beautiful Message. Today was a beautiful journey. This morning, tonight's message is a beautiful sight. I hope to see you all here, Pastor. If you'll come for the remainder of the service, I know you want to have anointing service. Thank you, everyone, for your kind attention.